VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Friends, we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. And I should mention that today's program is coming to you as a warning. You recall in the book of Ezekiel, they spoke of the watchman's responsibility to sound the alarm as a threat when a danger was seen approaching. And that's what we're doing today. We're sounding the alarm. Communist China is that threat that we're sounding the alarm about. And it is Communist China that is advancing its influence, actually infiltrating our nation. And I'm not just talking about the acquisition of farmland, though that is occurring. The infiltration of China is happening on multiple levels. Yes, through land acquisition and strategic places, but also they're infiltrating university campuses and influence the thought of our nation's young people with such things as Confucius Institutes. There's the infiltration into our technology and infiltration into government offices, even in products coming from China, including, and I just read about, illicit nicotine vape products reportedly account for more than 70% of those being consumed by children in the United States. There's the theft of intellectual property, and so much more is going on. So joining us with a warning about China's infiltration, we welcome back Alex Newman. Alex is an award-winning international freelance journalist. He's an author, researcher, educator, and consultant. He's a senior editor for The New American, co-author of Crimes of the Educators, and author of Deep State, The Invisible Government Behind the Scenes, also author of Indoctrinating Our Children to Death. He's a founder of Liberty Sentinel. Alex, thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
It's wonderful to be here. Thank you for having me, Jim.
So, Alex, the shortest distance I saw between China and the U.S. by air is about 7,000 miles. But I want to contend today, we don't have to travel 7,000 miles to be influenced by China. Its infiltration is taking place right now, today, on American soil.
Oh, it absolutely is, and it's not a new phenomenon. Actually, right before we went on air, I was telling you about a major in-depth investigation I did into communist Chinese intelligence operations back in 2011 for the Diplomat magazine. And what I reported then is actually, it's even a bigger problem today. The CCP has the largest intelligence gathering operation in the world, right? They have millions of people who work for the intelligence services. In fact, under their laws, every Chinese must assist the intelligence and security agencies if and when called upon to do so. That doesn't mean that they all do. There are many, many anti-communist Chinese who live around the world who loathe the abuses of that really brutal dictatorship. But as far as the CCP is concerned, every Chinese person everywhere on the planet is at least a potential intelligence asset. And we need to understand, too, that when it comes to communist Chinese intelligence, it isn't just about collecting information. It's about influence. It's about moving things in the direction that they want those things to move. And they have, as part of their overseas operations, they have what's called the United Front Work Department. And they're waging what they themselves, in their own military documents, refer to as a people's war against the United States of America. They call it unrestricted warfare, where everything short of actually firing bullets and missiles is fair game, including biological attacks, economic subversion. So it's hard to overestimate the threat that we're dealing with here. It is pervasive. It's in everything. It's at your university. It's in your films that you watch when you go to the movie theater. It's in your food. It's in every area of your life. They've bought massive amounts of influence in the Republican Party and in the Democrat Party. They've purchased massive amounts of influence in the media, including, by the way, the ones that people think of as slightly more reliable, like the Wall Street Journal. So this is a ubiquitous and pervasive problem, and I believe it's one of the greatest existential threats to our country.
Wow. So we're going to cover a number of these areas today, and sadly, they only surface from time to time, it seems, Alex, when something major happens. And I'd like to begin by talking about China's infiltration in politics and in our various offices, government offices, and individual leaders and so forth, but also in various levels of government. For instance, just a little over a week ago, it was the former deputy chief of staff to New York Governor Kathy Hochul, charged with acting on behalf of the Chinese Communist Party. The person I'm speaking of is Linda Sun. Both she and her husband, Chris Hu, were arrested at their home on Long Island. Alex, we're seeing charges of visa fraud, alien smuggling, conspiracy to commit money laundering. According to an unsealed indictment, it's reported that Sun received millions of dollars for her activities carried out on, well, at the behest of the People's Republic of China and CCP officials. Give us your insight on what's taken place.
Yeah, and what I would say is that is the tip of the tip of the tip of the iceberg. And so I'm thankful to the Department of Justice for taking action here. But this is like swatting an ant when you're drowning in a pool of insects. It's hard to overstate how serious this problem is. So again, I'm glad that every once in a while we see these little arrests. But when it comes to the CCP's influence in our political process, just a couple of examples, right? We've got the CCP literally funneling millions of dollars into the Clinton Foundation. And I mean, this came out in the news, right? Here's CBS News, Chinese company, which is, of course, a front for the CCP, pledged $2 million to the Clinton Foundation in 2013. The CCP is not donating money to the Clinton Foundation because they're impressed with how much good work they're doing around the world. Trust me. We've got the audio recordings that came off of Hunter Biden's laptop, where Hunter Biden is on record in this recording talking to somebody where he's bragging about his business relationship with a man he describes as the spy chief for Communist China, right? We've got, and Congress has revealed a lot of this. Just last year, Congress revealed that multiple members of the Biden family were on the payroll of Communist Chinese companies. And people need to understand, when you're on the payroll of a Communist Chinese company, this isn't like in America where a company puts you on the payroll to do consulting or something. Communist Chinese companies are extensions of the Communist Party. Virtually every one of the top 25 companies on the Shanghai Stock Exchange are majority owned by the Communist Party. And even the ones that are not majority owned by the regime are controlled by the regime. They have political commissars in there. They act as intelligence gathering apparatuses. So Congress has the documents proving that our president and his family are on the payroll of this. I don't want people to think it's a partisan issue. There are plenty of Republicans on the Chinese payroll as well. Of course, John Boehner, former Republican Speaker of the House, went to go work for a lobbying firm afterwards. One of their big clients was, of course, the CCP. We've got members of the Bush family on the Communist Chinese payroll. We've got, and sometimes they brag about this. Di Dongsheng, a professor of foreign policy, high-ranking CCP member, came out on video while he was teaching a class bragging about how the CCP has, he called them, friends in America's inner circle of power. And he was kind of perplexed at how when Donald Trump came in, those relationships were no longer as useful as they used to be at one time. So this influence by the CCP, which I'll remind everybody is the most murderous government that has ever existed in human history that we know of. They've slaughtered at least 100 million of their own people, not including forced abortions. Imagine what they'll do to you. This influence extends to the very highest reaches of our government, of our businesses, and our culture, and our society.
Wow, wow. And, you know, just even looking at this New York incident, which you called the tip of the tip of the tip of the iceberg here, we understand that Sun allegedly blocked requests from representatives of, like, Taiwan from meeting with the governor, altered governor's messaging, removing references to Taiwan on human rights abuses in China, even providing unauthorized invitation letters from the office of the New York governor to allow Chinese officials to illegally enter the U.S. and meet with U.S. government officials. So, Alex, if this is happening in this one office, can we not assume this is happening in many places?
This is happening across the board, Jim. This is happening all up and down the halls of Capitol Hill. And occasionally these things come out, right? We found out Congressman Eric Swalwell was sleeping with a communist Chinese spy, right? They have agents and operatives just absolutely crawling. And by the way, this is not just at the federal level. Like this case in New York shows, they're active in state capitals. They're active even in local governments. And sometimes they're hired as aides. Sometimes they're hired as consultants. Sometimes they pose as businessmen and they funnel enormous amounts of money into campaign coffers. This is actually what happened with the Clintons, right? Let's go back in time just a few decades. Bill Clinton was caught. This became a national scandal until the Monica Lewinsky affair took center stage. Johnny Chung, an operative for the Chinese Communist Party, was caught funneling illegal campaign contributions from the CCP into the coffers of the DNC. In exchange, as Admiral Thomas Moore, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, explained, in exchange, Clinton was expected to provide access to our most sensitive military secrets and our most sensitive defense technologies, and that's exactly what he did. And that in and of itself is not just an impeachable offense. You could make a very sound argument that that is treasonous, and somehow we all forgot about it when the scandal about Monica Lewinsky and these things surfaced. So what happened in New York, again, is just the tip of the iceberg. This is happening at every level of our politics, and it's not just Democrat states. This is happening in Republican states as well. It's happening with Republicans in Congress. And if we don't get a handle on this, again, I believe it is an existential threat to our country.
Yeah, just today, the Daily Caller reported that Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, Democratic vice president nominee, you know, appointed a member of a political faction that's pledged loyalty to the Chinese Communist Party. Appointed him to a state board that advises the government on Asian American affairs. We can only guess what that advice is going to be from them.
Yeah, and these types of people are appointed at every level, and a lot of it comes from the big money that they're pouring in.
Yeah,
right. So they fund the campaign of a governor, of a legislator, of a president. And then they call them up later. And a lot of times the politicians don't even necessarily know these things. They just know, hey, this is a big campaign contributor. We better give him, you know, give his friend some help or appoint one of his people on some board or something like that. So a lot of times it's not necessarily that the politicians know, although they certainly should be doing their due diligence. But this is the way that they operate, the CCP. It's influence buying. It's influence peddling. And unfortunately, our political system in the United States has become so rotten and so corrupt that it's absolutely ripe for infiltration by subversive forces like this.
Yeah, Alex Newman with us here today from thenewamerican.com and libertysentinel.org. Alex, we're not that many days away from our November 5th election. Do you have any confidence that China is not seeking to infiltrate or influence this election?
Oh, they are absolutely trying to infiltrate and influence this election, and that much is very clear. In fact, you can prove it. One of the guys I was talking to about what's going on in the elections, Jay Valentine, vice president for Fractal Web. This is a company that deals with advanced technology, and they've been using some of their technology to examine the voter rolls. And what they found is that every one of the swing states has at least 500,000 phony voter registrations in it. In some cases, it's really obvious. You have like 1,000 people registered to vote at a Walmart, right? And they're dead people. They're illegal immigrants. They're people who are not eligible to vote for whatever reason, felons, things like this. And so all these ballots are then being used. And I asked him, you know, who are the organizations? Who are the people behind this? And the first name he mentioned was the Chinese Progressive Association,
wow,
which, by the way, was intimately involved with Black Lives Matter. So we would be unbelievably foolish not to recognize that huge numbers of the hundreds of thousands of Chinese in the United States are actively working to swing our elections, undermine our elections, advance their cause. And unfortunately, Jim, a lot of these are working under diplomatic cover. So a lot of them are working at embassies, they're working at consulates, they can't be arrested. Very dangerous.
Friends, a quick break here. A warning today regarding China's infiltration, but it's not just the political scene, not just certain offices, not just in the elections, friends. We're going to delve into other areas too, such as America's education system. More to come after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, if sedimentary rock is made up of sediments deposited by Noah's flood, where did the sediments come from?
Chris, it appears that before the flood, calcareous ooze made of tiny marine animals and secretions accumulated on the ocean bottom. Scooped up by the flood, they became today's limestone deposits. It also appears that the sandstone deposits came from created granitic rock, which eroded to yield the sand that are modern-day sandstones. Also, during the flood, intense volcanism occurred as the fountains of the Great Deep broke open, depositing huge quantities of volcanic ash. This became intermingled with other flood sediments to form a variety of rock types. Chris, I think the flood of Noah's day is a very important concept which we must understand if we ever hope to understand the world around us. Let's develop a Back to Genesis way of thinking.
Thanks for tuning in to Back to Genesis.
warning today on Crosstalk regarding China's infiltration. Alex Newman is our guest today, an award-winning international freelance journalist. You'll see his articles appearing at the senior editor for the New American, thenewamerican.com, also libertysentinel.org. Alex, let me also just mention you produce a podcast, which we're going to start broadcasting on television, called Behind the Deep State, a half-hour weekly program that we're going to begin the week of September 15th. And this is airing Tuesday nights at 9:30 p.m., Thursdays at 5 p.m. We've got a Saturday afternoon airing as well. Just give us a word about Behind the Deep State.
Well, thank you, Jim. I'm very grateful that VCY has decided to air that. It's a great honor and a great privilege. And so that show actually was born some years ago when the word deep state started becoming part of the popular lexicon, started becoming part of the popular consciousness. Polls even back in 2017, 2018 were saying that at least three-fourths of Americans recognized that we had a deep state, but there was such a it was such a nebulous idea. People couldn't quite put their finger on what that meant. And so my thinking was, hey, somebody's got to explain what's really going on here. Who are these forces? What are they up to? What strategies do they use? How does this all relate to the scripture? And so that's why I decided to start doing that show. And it's been running now for many years. And so we'll do a mixture of different things. We'll take often something that's in the news and try to go deep behind the headline and show what's really going on, both in terms of the secretive forces behind the scenes, the secretive organizations that don't want to be in the headlines. What are they up to? And then taking it even a step further, going into the what's really at work here, the powers, the principalities that Paul discusses in Ephesians 6, the spiritual wickedness that we're dealing with here, and how all of this actually fits perfectly within the framework that the Bible provides to describe the nature of reality. So we deal with all kinds of different subjects: culture, politics, economics, international affairs, geopolitics, banking, all of that kind of stuff, and just with the goal of equipping God's people and educating Americans so that they can make better and more informed decisions for their families and their country.
So Behind the Deep State will be a new program to us on WVCY television. And many of you listening in the States, we don't get WVCY TV. Do you know that we have a free app, VCY.TV, and what we stream, what we air over TV, we stream at that very same time over VCY.TV. So you have access to that program as well, Behind the Deep State. Alex Newman with us today with a warning on China's infiltration. And Alex, let's talk about China's influence on campuses across the United States, and let's begin with universities. Tell us what's taking place, especially with this. People may not understand, but there are something called Confucius Institutes. What's this all about?
So Confucius Institutes, I think, should be thought of as little outposts of the CCP on American college campuses. And they market these like, oh, it's just to build cultural ties. It's just to promote Chinese culture in America and promote the Chinese language and things like this. But these are really outposts of the most murderous government in human history, and that's what they need to be recognized as for us to get a handle on this problem. And so they promote the CCP line on all kinds of issues. They throw money around to try to buy influence. They work as recruiting grounds to try to bring people in who may be useful to some future Chinese intelligence operation. And that's just kind of the above ground part of the operation, right? These are actual organizations that are incorporated that have a building and office workers and a sign outside and things like this. But that's just the visible part. When you get underneath the water, what you find is there's a huge apparatus connected to these. And so you'll have Chinese foreign exchange students, for example, coming, and they will study advanced physics. They'll study nuclear engineering, and they'll go to some of the most prestigious universities in the United States, where these things that they're learning, these technologies that they're learning about, these methods, these discoveries, have not just civil and civilian applications, but incredibly significant military applications. And occasionally some of this comes out, right? There was a big scandal at Harvard where one of their top chemistry professors ended up arrested for basically selling himself out to the communist Chinese. But the influence of the CCP in not just academia, by the way, this isn't just universities, this manifests itself even down to the K-12 level, is profound, and it is very, very dangerous.
You know, and it's not just university campuses, but I saw an article that was in Newsweek last fall, and they did a story about the Chinese state influencing our American education system, offering millions of dollars in funding public schools. And they reported that Parents Defending Education claimed in the last 10 years more than $17 million given to 143 school districts, even the Confucius Classrooms Initiative, 34 states, District of Columbia, some 182 individual schools allegedly were involved with these. And some of these, Alex, identified as being near 20 U.S. military bases. Any significance to that?
Oh, absolutely. And that is one of the many ways in which their influence is being felt through the money that they're throwing around. But there's many other ways, too. I would say one of the most profound ways in which the CCP affects the education, not just of Americans, but people around the world, is through its very, very prominent role in UNESCO. So right now, the Assistant Director General of UNESCO, by the way, the Assistant Director General for Education, right, because UNESCO deals with education, science, and culture. The Assistant Director General, so the top man in charge of education at the UN Education Agency, is literally a card-carrying member of the Chinese Communist Party.
Wow.
Beyond his name, is Qian Tang. He's got very close relations with people like Obama's education secretary, Arne Duncan. And so this is a man who helps craft education policy for every public school in the world. Meanwhile, you've got private schools, including very elite preparatory schools across the United Kingdom, being bought by a CCP company. So they have a very, very huge footprint in the education world, across the Western world, and across the globe. And by the way, again, this is not just in America. They're doing this in Africa. They're doing this in Latin America. They have ambitions that are global in scope.
You know, we mentioned the U.S. military bases here, and there's no doubt China's had much interest in land, including farmland near military installations. But there, some states have taken action to put the brakes on this, but in other places, it's still very much a threat.
It is, yeah. We have had several states that have taken action to limit the ability of the CCP to buy farmland. Some of the very strategic farmland that they're purchasing is, of course, like you said, just right next to military bases, gives them access to see what's going on at these military bases, potentially gives them access to jamming communications and other very, very important intelligence. And there's other things that they're doing, too, right? One of the companies that they were trying to acquire in Arkansas deals with genetic engineering of crops. Right? This is pretty significant. Why would a CCP front masquerading as a company try to be purchasing land and interests in a company that's genetically engineering the food supply? Well, we know what the Communist Chinese are doing when it comes to genetically engineering. They're genetic engineering frankenfoods. They're genetically engineering highly weaponized viruses, whether that be Ebola or COVID, whatever it is. So all of these have very dangerous potential military applications. And again, we have had some states cracking down on this, as Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders was very, very loud and strong on stopping CCP control of land in Arkansas, especially in these genetic engineering sectors. But we need a whole lot more of that across the country to keep this threat at bay.
Alex, we can't, just blink our eyes away from what's happening militarily right now, too. I mean, there are many reports coming out about, well, just in the last few days, the Russia having massive naval drills with China. And we know something is percolating. What can you share with us?
So the CCP has been a very close ally of the Russian government back from the very beginning. In fact, if you look at how the CCP was able to take over China in the first place, a big part of it, of course, was the deliberate policy of the United States government. We had people who later were exposed actually as Soviet agents, some of them, deliberately betraying our ally, Chiang Kai-shek, and bringing Chairman Mao into power in communist China. But of course, Stalin played the key role there. Now, back in the 70s, there was an effort, and even in the 60s, there was a disinformation operation where Americans were being told that there was a Sino-Soviet split. And under the guise of exploiting this Sino-Soviet split, American taxpayers were actually conscripted into helping build up communist China. I mean, talk about absurdity. We've had whistleblowers from the Soviet Union who came out, people like Anatoly Golitchyn from Department D in the KGB. This was a total fraud from the very beginning. There was never a Sino-Soviet split. Well, today, the communist Chinese and the Russians are, again, very openly allied. In fact, just earlier this year, maybe it was last year now, they signed what they described as an unlimited partnership, right? They said there are no limits to our alliance. And they work through several different groups like the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. And I do believe, Jim, that they are preparing for war against the United States. And I would say the most dangerous part of that all is what America itself is doing, that our leaders are betraying our country, that our people have turned away from God. And that is, I think, what makes us even more vulnerable than this alliance. But there's no question the CCP and the Kremlin are very close allies. They are cooperating in everything that you can imagine, including military matters. And frankly, if a war were to break out, I'm not sure the United States would win.
You know, and it's so sad and it's frightening that to know as they are preparing these military drills, I mean, we are so engrossed in DEI training, you know, making sure that we have diversity, equity, inclusion, and that being such a problem. And when you have your top military commanders talking about battling global climate change as being, you know, an existential threat, you know, we've got a problem here, Houston.
We absolutely do, Jim. And at some point, you even have to start wondering, I mean, if you were the CCP and you could destroy the American military, how would you do that? Well, you might put into place mandates to take injections of certain products that we know are going to seriously harm your health. We might purge the officer corps of anybody patriotic and God-fearing. We might tell troops that they are oppressed, that they need to be divided based on their skin color, that America is a systemically racist nation, and why would you even want to fight for this dumb country anyway? That's what I would do if I were the CCP. That's what I would do if I were the Kremlin. And incidentally, that's exactly what our own government leaders are doing, from the president on down. So we talked earlier about Congress revealing that multiple members of the Biden family were on the CCP payroll. Is there a connection? I suggest that there probably is.
Alex Newman, our guest here today. We're just a minute from a break. Alex, before we take the break, we're going to talk about more of the infiltration here into the U.S., like technology, intellectual property theft, even entertainment, pharmaceuticals, etc. Just give us a word about The New American. You've been writing for them a long time, and as well as your own site there, Liberty Sentinel.
Well, thank you, Jim. So The New American is a magazine that comes out two times every month. It's an excellent, excellent publication, in my opinion, the best out there if you want to know the truth about what's happening in the world. And people can find that at thenewamerican.com. My own personal operation, Liberty Sentinel, you can find us at libertysentinel.org. We do a free newsletter. Sentinel is S-E-N-T-I-N-E-L, libertysentinel.org. It's absolutely free. And we encourage people to sign up to both of those to be informed on all of what is happening today, not just on the political and the economic front, but way beyond that. And those are two easy ways to get involved.
Again, friends, that's thenewamerican.com and libertysentinel.org. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and talk more about China's infiltration into the U.S. and getting into some of the technology, intellectual property, theft that is taking place, and what about those computer chips from China that are being placed into very sensitive technology here in the U.S.? That and more here on Crosstalk, coming your way from the VCY American Network. We'll be right back.
Crosstalk, as we know it, began airing in 1987.
Good afternoon to you, Vic Eliason here. We are going to be talking today with...
It comes your way from the VCY America Network out of Milwaukee. Did you ever wonder what the letters VCY stand for? Ever pondered what's behind the ministry that presents Crosstalk every day? We're pleased to share with you a free copy of the magazine-formatted book, God's Continuing Miracle, The VCY Story. This book of over 200 pages presents nearly 500 photographs, interviews, historic newspaper articles, and writings about the VCY America ministry, now over 60 years old. The magazine will also inform you about VCY rallies, the birthday club ministry, the VCY bookstore, and so much more.
It is a testimony to God's faithfulness. To receive a free copy of God's Continuing Miracle, The VCY Story, call 1-800-729-9829.
The program is called Crosstalk, coming your way from the VCY American Network. Friends, we thank you for tuning in and listening daily to the program. Yeah, you will hear information you're not going to get from the legacy media sources that are out there. But, friends, we cover the issues and bring on quality guests to keep you informed on critical matters. And within just a couple of hours, this program will be posted up on our website, crosstalkamerica.com, crosstalkamerica.com. When you find it there, send a link to others. It's offered, distributed online. They're free. And let others learn the information that you're learning here through Crosstalk. Again, that's crosstalkamerica.com. Alex Newman is our guest today. He is senior editor for The New American, has co-authored a number of books, founder of Liberty Sentinel. We're talking about China's infiltration, giving a warning about what's happening. And Alex, we can't do this program without talking about technology and the theft of intellectual property. This is all impacting our nation to a very grave extent.
It is, and it's costing, according to the FBI, it's costing our economy hundreds of billions of dollars per year. But I would say forget about the economic costs for now, as bad as those are, when you consider what is happening on the economic front to the average American. The military implications of this are hard to overstate. Right? The one advantage that the United States has typically had, obviously we are outmanned. They've got, 1.5 billion people to the 300 million in the United States, the vast majority of whom cannot fight. Even the fighting-age males are not in any condition to fight. So America has traditionally depended on its technological superiority to be able to defend our national security interests, to be able to defend our nation from hostile foreign attack. Well, we have all but lost that technological superiority as a direct result of treasonous actions by government officials, including people like Bill Clinton, and also the ongoing systematic theft of our intellectual property by the CCP, by CCP agents working in our defense industries, CCP agents going to attend elite American universities. This is, again, existential threat to our country. It has basically given the CCP everything they need, first of all, to understand our defense capabilities, and second of all, to overpower our defense capabilities. And it's hard to overstate the danger that we find ourselves in as a direct result of that.
Yeah, and here are another headline that just came from the Epoch Times late last month, and it's a Florida engineer pleading guilty to acting as an agent for Beijing. And this is a Florida engineer pleaded guilty acting as a Chinese agent to collect intelligence on dissidents, U.S. nonprofits and firms, but very much engaged in this whole matter of even technology and so forth. Engineers are certainly been targeted by China, and their infiltration is impacting us to a great extent.
Yep, it absolutely is. And this is a problem all across the Western world. It's not just American defense industries. It is happening in Sweden. It's happening in France. It's happening in Germany. All of the advanced technology that the Western world has developed, all the innovation that the Western world has developed through a combination of kind of societies based, at least historically, on biblical principles and through the free market capitalist system, all of that has now been sucked out of the West and sent over to China. And at this point, on the technology front, they're now mass manufacturing a lot of the things that we need even to keep our Air Force jets in the sky, even to keep our Navy ships at sea. If the CCP were to decide we're not going to send you those components anymore, we could not keep most of our planes in the sky. We could not keep most of our ships out at sea. And anybody, I mean, you could get a second grader and put him at the Pentagon, would understand that is a very bad idea. And yet somehow we're expected to believe that this is all just one big giant mistake, and you know, it was about cost. It's simply crazy, Jim, to believe that there are not people in high places who have done this to us deliberately.
Yeah, and can we trust the chips that we're getting from China and putting them in very sensitive technology?
No, absolutely not. They have built backdoors, and the NSA does this too, but the communist Chinese have built backdoors into just about every technological component that they use. And these are used in our federal agencies. These are used in the Pentagon. These are used in our military systems. they have backdoor access now to all of it. And when you are a pilot whose life depends on these systems, when you are a captain of a ship whose life, whose men depends on these systems, that's a really bad position to be in. And yet these were deliberate policy decisions that were made that didn't have to be made.
Let's hit another area, and this may seem insignificant to some, but this is just one example of Chinese products coming across to us as well. This is from the Free Beacon, came out just a couple days ago. Illicit nicotine vape products emanating from China account for more than 70% of those being consumed by children in the United States. This is from CDC is reporting that Chinese-made e-cigarettes, vapes, flooded the American marketplace for years, and China banned flavored vapes in 22, but China's vape industry, export industry, has boomed to $28 billion, according to Wired. And really, Alex, this is part of the destruction of our youth.
It is, and it's in vaping, it's in food, it's in pharmaceuticals. Over 90% of the precursor chemicals that go into our pharmaceuticals are coming out of China. Now, first of all, that's enormous leverage that they have over us. Second of all, it is one of the many means that they can and oftentimes do use to poison the American people. So it's hard to overstate the damage that they're doing to us. And again, these things are deliberate policy decisions that are being made by policymakers in Washington, D.C. There's no reason in the world why we have to be dependent on the CCP for our food, for our medicine, for our sensitive electronics. These were deliberate decisions that were made by individual people working within our government.
Yeah, and we're seeing even fentanyl has links to China as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're working very closely with the transnational gangs, with the cartels, with the Chinese gangs. And, of course, this is one of the many ways that they're engaging in what they themselves call unrestricted warfare. They love that over 100,000 young Americans are dying every year from overdoses. These are oftentimes young men in what otherwise would have been the prime of their lives who are dying from fentanyl overdoses. It doesn't have to be this way, but this is all part of a much larger strategy. And when you see how it all connects, you realize what a threat we are facing as a country.
Friends, our phone number to Crosstalk today, 800-733-9829. Taking your phone calls, your questions today for Alex, or a brief comment, 800-733-9829. We're discussing today China's infiltration here into the United States. Actually, there are infiltrations taking place all across this globe. But focusing on the U.S. here today, again, our number 800-733-9829. Alex, earlier this year, you did some interviews and did coverage on how China is also controlling Hollywood. So comment on this infiltration through Hollywood and the entertainment industry.
Yeah, so they have acquired a number of very strategic assets, obviously in a whole lot of industries, but in particular in Hollywood. They purchased a controlling stake in one of the largest cinema chains in this country. They have purchased major stakes in various Hollywood studios, production companies, etc. And this has given them de facto veto power over what films are made. So even setting aside the fact that they control access to what they call a Chinese market, right? If you want your film to be played in China with 1.5 billion consumers, as they say, you better not put anything anti-communist, anything pro-God, anything like that in there. But now it's at the point where they have veto power over movies that we can see here in America as a result of their strategic purchases of assets. So this, as we started off the program with, this is a pervasive influence that touches every area of your life, even your entertainment choices. So this is a huge, huge problem, Jim.
And friends, it is a problem. It's happening on so many different fronts. And rest assured, the infiltration is taking place. Our number today on Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Well, let's begin with Roger in the state of Minnesota. Roger, you're on the air.
Okay, thank you for taking my call. I was wondering, because of Joe Biden's connections and then Walls coming into play, is that coincidental or on purpose, just another step forward?
Thoughts, Alex?
Yeah, that's a good question. We know that Walls has been very, very pro-CCP throughout the duration of his political career and even before that. And I don't believe in coincidences. So I think there's a very clear lineage here. And the same is true for Kamala Harris, by the way. She was the most left-wing member of the U.S. Senate, further to the left even than Bernie Sanders. Her family's ties to the international communist movement are very well documented. She is actually what's described as a red diaper baby. In other words, a child born of two practicing card-carrying communist parents. Very, very dangerous. And so we are facing a Marxist revolution. And when you take it one step further, beyond just, you know, the ideology and the economic policy, I think the most important book to understand Marxism and communism is actually one written by a pastor, Pastor Richard Birnbrand. I'm holding it in my hand right now. It's called Marx and Satan. And so when you really boil it all down, this is not even so much about a political ideology or an economic system, which is what we're told to think of communism and Marxism as. This is about a plot from the pit of hell to overturn and destroy everything that God has ordained for our good. And I think the direct lineage between what's going on in the Obama, what went on in the Obama administration, what's going on with the Biden administration, and what they hope will go on with a Kamala Harris and Walz administration is no coincidence.
Roger, thank you for the call. Let's go to Sam next in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Sam.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. I was wondering about the weather balloons last year from China that went over the country, and they finally shot down off the East Coast after it had traversed our country. Or the equipment that was found there, I haven't heard much about that. And I have one moniker for the vice president's pick. I refer to him as Tiananmen Tim.
Thank you, Sam, for the call. These balloons, I mean, Alex, it was just outrageous that we had to watch this flying over, you know, very sensitive military installation areas and make its way all across the United States, do its surveillance, and then all of a sudden when it gets off to the southeast U.S., then we decided to shoot it down?
Yeah, and we're expected to believe that, right? It's it truly defies reason. And I think if you really want to understand what's going on here, you have to go back into the history, and you have to recognize that these things are not coincidences. These things are not an accident. And as our first Secretary of Defense put it, James Forrestal, when you find a series of so-called mistakes like this, it doesn't add up. He said, consistency has never been the hallmark of stupidity. If these men were merely making mistakes, occasionally they would make a mistake in our favor. And yet we've now got 60 or 70 years of uninterrupted so-called mistakes building up the CCP, strengthening their economic and their military might, undermining American economic and military might. And at some point you have to say, hey, if these people were just dumb, if these were just idiots who don't know what they're doing, every once in a while, by sheer numbers, the statistical probabilities, they'd make a mistake that helped us, and yet they never do.
Thanks for the call, Sam. Richard in Washington State, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd just like to bring up that you people didn't mention it, but how about the virus that we funded with our tax money in the Wuhan Institute of Virology with Fauci?
Yeah, good point. We touched on some pharmaceutical issues, but look at how this upended the United States here, Alex.
Yeah, and I think that's a very important point to make. And that's, you know, some people listen and say, well, that's a conspiracy theory. No. We've got the deputy director of the NIH on record in congressional sworn testimony admitting that the NIH was funding the gain-of-function research happening at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. So I think all of this is critical to understand the large point, and that is that the CCP system is the model for the world order that they're trying to build.
Okay, friends, we're back in 1 minute, taking more of your phone calls here on Crosstalk. I see lines are packed. Back in 1 minute here on Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewtube.com. Recently, Tucker Carlson had on a historian that he praised. And this historian, Cooper is his last name, basically said that Hitler didn't mean to do the Holocaust. It was just poor planning. Well, that is absolutely 100% false, and it fits into the category of being a Holocaust denier. Edwin Black wrote the premier book on this. It's called IBM and the Holocaust. It's about the size of a phone book, and it details exactly how IBM's punch cards were used to track down the Jews, to know everything about them, not only their history, their heritage, being Jewish, but their occupation. And then they cross-reference those to their bank accounts. Now the United Nations is holding a global conference to do the same thing, give all of us digital ID that's mandatory under their 17 goals of the 2030 agenda. History seems to be repeating itself along with the rise in active euthanasia.
Listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and right back to the phone lines. Let's go to Pat calling from Wisconsin. Pat, you're on the air with Alex Newman.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. You talked about the pharmacy having poison stuff. How do we tell? I take a medicine now that is, has a Pfizer label on it, but it says it's manufactured in China. How can I tell if they're poisoning me or not? I asked the doctor the last time I saw him about heavy metals because I had read that China puts heavy metals. And I said, how can I tell? He says, oh, I'll have the pharmacist. And he says, I'm sending a message to her right now. And she never replied.
Okay. So, Alex, you talked about the large amount of pharmaceuticals that China is producing for us. Can we trust them?
No, I would say absolutely not. And that even without even beginning to address the multinational companies involved in the supply chain, companies like Pfizer and AstraZeneca, that I do not believe have our best interests at heart. When you add to that the CCP role in, if not creating the drug itself, certainly in producing the precursors, I wouldn't trust that so-called medicine as far as I could throw it. And I would urge people to work with their medical providers to guarantee the security and the safety of the drugs that they need, because it is, I mean, how many babies have been killed by poison from communist Chinese products? How many pets have been killed from poisons coming from communist Chinese products? This is a ubiquitous problem, and unfortunately, our government is not doing much to protect us from that.
And it seems for some medications, Alex, it's the only choice.
Yes, it is. That's right, and by design. Again, I think this is a strategic leverage point. See, the CCP has the advantage of being able to see all these things from a 50,000-foot view. So these aren't just decisions of businessmen that are being made to make profit, right, which is what you have in a free market system. This is all strategic. They're determining what interests they want, what industries they want to take over, what sectors of the economy they want to take over, and they're moving strategically at a governmental and a corporate and a cultural and a societal level to accomplish those things. And pharmaceuticals is one of the big areas where they have focused.
Wow.
For obvious reasons.
Thank you for the call, Pat. Our number 800-733-9829. David is calling from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. David, you're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Good to speak with both of you. Just wondering, like, who's at the top? I know that the Rothschilds have been very active in China and also Rockefeller with all kind of pharmaceuticals since the beginning. People like that, are they the one? What are the names?
So who's at the top of the pyramid, Alex?
It's a great question, and I actually have a whole presentation that I've done around the country called Communist China, the Model for the New World Order, and eventually I get into all the names. The Rothschilds actually have been very, very big players in this. The Rockefellers have been huge players in this, and this is all in the public, right? I mean, anybody can go read David Rockefeller's op-ed that he published in the New York Times back in 1973 after his return from China. He said, and I'll actually pull it up, here's one of the many things he said in this op-ed that people ought to read. The social experiment in China under Chairman Mao's leadership is one of the most important and successful in human history. Klaus Schwab, of course, has been a major player in this. The World Economic Forum has helped reform China's economy to make it into the powerhouse that it is today over a period of 40 years. And they brag about this. This is not a secret. So you've got the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers. You've got Henry Kissinger, of course, was a major player. He was basically a Rockefeller agent. You've got very powerful business interests in the United States. But ultimately, you know, as I argue in my book on the Deep State, the Invisible Government Behind the Scenes, where I have a whole chapter on how the Deep State created and built up Communist China as an engine and a model for ultimately bringing in this world order. George Soros said publicly in an interview with the Financial Times 10 years ago that Communist China should own the New World Order in the same way that the United States owns the current one. He said they had a better functioning government than the United States. Which is an interesting thing to say. And so when I get to the top of the pyramid, all I can say is go to your Bible, Right? The Bible addresses these things so clearly. It talks about, the Apostle Paul talks about the God of this world. Jesus talks about the prince of this age. The commander-in-chief of the forces of evil on this planet, without any hesitation, I can tell you, is Satan himself.
Well, thank you for the call here, David. And our final call today, Greg in Los Alamos, New Mexico. Greg, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to give some people some reassurances about what gentleman earlier mentioned about that spy balloon. I was in the Air Force in the early 1980s at Nellis Air Force Base with top secret clearance and know quite a bit about our spy satellites. And now this is 40 years ago, remember. Our satellites back then, and I can assure you the Chinese satellites are just as good, back then, if on your desk in front of you, you had a pack of cigarettes, our spy satellites can read what brand that cigarette pack is. So now 40 years later, yeah, our military is not worried about a balloon. They're more worried about the spy satellites.
Okay. Thank you, Greg, for your response to that. Alex, you worried about the balloon?
I'm concerned about all of this. And frankly, if I had to pick the thing that concerns me the most, it's the possibility that God could use the CCP and the Kremlin to bring judgment on the United States of America that, unfortunately, if we're honest with ourselves, we sorely deserve. You see in the scriptures throughout history where God uses governments to bring judgment upon other governments, even including his own people, Israel, right, where he uses Nebuchadnezzar and other pagan, godless, sometimes evil, mass-murdering rulers to bring judgment on a people. And after 70 million murdered babies, after exporting pornography and sodomy and so-called homosexual marriage and abortion to every corner of this planet, I think we would all be deceiving ourselves if we said America doesn't deserve judgment. And so I think, really, if we want to protect ourselves from the CCP and all of the many other threats that we're facing as a nation, the real answer is to get on our knees and pray and to repent and to seek God's face, because I think without national repentance, without the nation turning back to God, or at least God's people repenting and turning back to God, it's over, whether it comes from the CCP or the Kremlin or an environmental disaster or who knows what, social disintegration, civil war. Our country's in grave danger, and the real ultimate culprit is spiritual rot, spiritual wickedness that has taken over in this land.
Alex Newman, our guest here today, I say amen to what he said. Prayer and repentance so vital for our nation. Alex, thank you so much for joining us on the broadcast today.
Thank you for having me, and God bless you.
And friends, again, check out Alex's regularly writing on China, but not just the threat of China, so much more. You'll find it through his site, libertysentinel.org, libertysentinel.org, and thenewamerican.com, thenewamerican.com. Friends, troubling information here today, but indeed, through all of this, keep your trust, your hope, your confidence in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.